All right, this email's been sitting here for a while. Let's get to it. Matt Johnson asks, can you answer this on an episode of Adios to Torch or ask it to Bruce on his show? Do you think WWE should take advantage of the brand names of former WCW pay-per-views to make the current pay-per-view seem more special? For instance, wouldn't the December pay-per-view seem more special if it was named Starrcade instead of the generic Armageddon? Also, the October pay-per-view could be Halloween Havoc. They do this with Great American Bash, and it seems like Starrcade and Havoc could be used as well. Too many of WWE and TNA pay-per-views have the same generic name, Armageddon, Judgment Day, Final Resolution, etc. Thanks.
Well, Halloween Havoc is a generic name, except it's got Halloween. Except you know what time of the year it is because it's around the Halloween. Starrcade, I'd argue, is now. Starrcade is a generic name, except for you knew it was around Thanksgiving when it used to be on Thanksgiving.
Mm-hmm.
So, and it used to be on Thanksgiving, but that's 20-some years ago and a whole other world away. No, I don't think so. I don't think that those names. And it kind of hurts my feelings to say it's about Starrcade, but I don't think those names carry anything anymore. And it is kind of one of my pet peeves of wrestling, whether it's Ring of Honor or TNA or WWE, that these generic names that you and one of my weaknesses too, I can't remember the generic name. I don't know. To me, it's just another pay-per-view night, you know. And if it's Royal Rumble, that makes sense because it's the Royal Rumble. If it's WrestleMania, it's the Super Bowl. It's WrestleMania. And
SummerSlam to a degree. You know that
Summer
was Michael
Slam
Hogan.
SummerSlam to a degree because it's a
Savage. You know, Zeus and DiBiase against Hogan and Savage or whatever it was. Yeah.
But no, I mean, the Great American Bash, I think they continued that because they thought it was a cool name.
Yeah.
And it is kind of a cool name. But it's like all those generic names don't mean a whole lot. And if WWE has had the same names in place,
Here's another argument, too.
They might as well just keep with it.
And here's another argument against Starrcade.
Yeah.
Starrcade was special. For a lot of years, Starrcade was special. WWE is not going to water down WrestleMania. They're not going to water down the Royal Rumble by putting in December something that gets the type of annual Super Show treatment that Starrcade, based on the historical name, deserves. So let it rest in peace. Because if WWE brings it back, now if it was TNA, let's say TNA got rights to it, I'm all for that. I mean, I have mixed feelings about them trying to cash in on where the WCW sequel, because sadly they book like the WCW Thunder sequel a lot of the time, and that works against them. And that's why, you know, Jarrett and Booker T are, you know, the last guys I would be pushing if I were TNA in a lot of ways, because I just think it's reminiscent of a bad era, and I don't think they're good enough to overcome it. But the Starrcade name actually deserves to rest in peace. It doesn't deserve to be a half-assed pay-per-view that's interchangeable with Armageddon and New Year's Revolution.
You know, here's the thing about it, too. For the people that remember when Starrcade was a very big deal, you use that name and it's kind of a halfway name,
Then
it's going to irritate them.
Yep.
For the people that don't know that Starrcade was a very big deal, it doesn't mean anything.
Yep.
But there's no advantage to that thing. So you're irritating whatever small segment of your wrestling fans remember that. You're kind of irritating them and liked it. And then you're doing nothing for the other ones. Now, I do want to use this as a chance to say this. This week, Jim Ross wrote about Starrcade because, like I said, they got Starrcade DVD coming. WWE as a compilation DVD. And said something about Starrcade being Quacker Promotions' answer to WrestleMania.
Mm-hmm.
I was really surprised at Jim Ross for saying that because he knows enough of his history, and he was certainly in the wrestling business at the time the Starrcade came up. Starrcade came before WrestleMania.
He can make a lawyerly case that WrestleMania was the big pay-per-view first, and WCW turned Starrcade into their annual biggest pay-per-view in reaction to WrestleMania getting over on pay-per-view. The name Starrcade predated WrestleMania, and it was.
I think that's kind of poor. You know what? I think that's kind of a poor.
It's the best you can do, though.
Poor. It's the best you can do, but I think it's a pretty poor one because everything. You know, the big show concept was Starrcade. There were other big shows, but like the big show stuff that really got a lot of people's attention was that first Starrcade, and WrestleMania came. And it wasn't on pay-per-view either because the technology wasn't there to be for pay-per-view. But big shows were going to naturally go to pay-per-view when the technology and everybody knew it too. Even I knew it back then. When you kind of it's like there's going to be stuff where you can order it right off the cable. I mean, people knew that. And it was, first it was close. First it was what made big shows the big shows were the closed circuit aspect of it,
mm-hmm.
with the big and building up the big shows, and then that the Starrcade, and you know WrestleMania came a year or so afterwards, so it was like WWE's and big show, and you know, and the other thing is this is also one of those things where. You know, Starrcade was first, but they were, big shows were coming with branded names, and they were going to end up on pay-per-view, and whoever came first.
Yeah.
And Crockett Promotions had the advantage of doing it first and finding out and learning from that. It was an advantage that didn't last forever.
Mm-hmm.
So, but anyway, when I read that, I was kind of like, God, Ross knows better than that.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
Anyway.
It's one of those, you know, company man lines, and
yeah.
it's weird. I don't think he had to write it.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah.
And I also, I also think you won the war, you own the whole thing, you own Starrcade. What's the difference? Just say, you know, it just shows that the opponent that you beat had something going on for a while. Not that they were so weak that, you know, it's kind of like the old thing of if the guy you beat means nothing, then your win means nothing too. So.
Yeah.
I wish they'd remember that sometimes.
Yeah. All right, next question. Nagasaki Dream and the Bruce Mitchell VIP Forum. I've been listening to Torch Audio shows for nearly 3 years, and I don't recall the name Devin Storm ever popping up in anyone's discussion. I can confirm that is true. I remember there was quite a buzz surrounding Storm here in the Northeast in the mid-90s due to his work in the indie scene, and I'd appreciate hearing yours and Wade's thoughts on his work. Thank you.
You know, I thought he was okay. I mean, I just thought he was another guy. I mean, I always think of him and Christopher Daniels for some reason, but that he had the indie rep, and they're guys that have the indie rep, and sometimes it's not their fault that indie reputation, that good reputation, doesn't translate over to, the big companies for whatever reason. And part of it was he hit and got a job in WCW when WCW was going down and had bad booking, and there's a lot of guys that were in WCW that you would think would still be in the wrestling business that are no longer in the wrestling business because in other words, he was in the midst of a lot of bad stuff, and it's hard, even if you're good, to stand out.
I think he was a victim to a degree of, oh, he's an indie guy, but he earned it too. There were guys who wrestled in indie style, which was, High spot, show off. And it works in the indie scene. When people go to an indie show, you don't have the star power, so you got to dazzle them with something. And sometimes it's blood and gore, sometimes it's high spots, and the fans are really close, and there is an indie style. But you have to be wise about changing that style when your circumstances change. And I think he was one of those guys who the people who came up, quote, the right way in their mind and did become these heralded indie wrestlers, They were looked down on for, you know, like Sabu was for a while. Just somebody who does a bunch of high spots out of context and tries to do the big move. And I think that worked against him. I think his overall look was just okay. I don't think he had a great look. And also, he, promo-wise, I don't think was very strong. And, you know, he landed about where I think he deserved to land in WCW. You know, it's just the weird, you know, crowbar type thing. I mean, it just, that was fine. I mean, I never thought he was never the guy I was outraged at being underutilized based on what I had seen of him on videotape.
Yeah, I felt the same way. I didn't see anymore.
But I would have. But you know what? If he was my local standout indie star, I would be excited about him and I'd talk about him. But I wouldn't be upset when he got to the national scene that he wasn't more than that, because I don't think he was more than that. All right. Next up. See if you can answer this one. This is the latest one posted just today. Bruce, could you discuss the best and worst underneath talent you've ever seen? Ever seen a job guy so bad he was never asked back? Stories of stars asking if their squash match opponents be changed?
There was a guy that I used to go to wrestling shows with who wrestled on the indie scene. He was named Bam Bam Chuck Colf. And he went to, and he still lives in the area. And last time I saw him was at a WWE wrestling show. And in the mid to late 80s, he went down to Atlanta. He was this kind of short, you know, chunky fat guy. And he went down to Atlanta and wrestled. Dusty Rhodes was booking. I think it was when Dusty was booking WCW was after the promotion had been sold, so I guess it was the early 90s or something. I'm trying to think of when the hell this was. And he went down and he wrestled Johnny B. Vad and on a squash match. And he threw some punches so bad they went over the guy, they went over Johnny B. Vad's head like 3 feet over his head. And they showed the match on television. It was awful. And I was laughing because it was cold. So anyway, he goes back to the back, and Dusty chews his ass out and fires him from the job, from doing jobs, and tells him never to come back. So that's one. I always think of him. There was another friend of mine who wasn't quite as bad, but Dan Grandi, who still know to this day, smart, funny guy, works as a guy who traces deadbeat dads. I mean, he works as a social worker. And
all right, that concludes the 5-minute free clip of today's VIP audio show. If you're interested in having access to the complete audio shows that run between 10 minutes up to sometimes an hour, hour 15 minutes each, just click on the VIP sign up info button in the upper left corner of the screen at pwtorch.com on any page, right under our logo. And you can get more details on all the features you get with a VIP membership, including around 50 VIP exclusive audio shows per month, start to finish, along with a lot more ad-free access to the site, the PW Torch Today PDF bulletins that come up most days that I write with the breaking news and analysis, and so much more. Back hundreds of back issues from the Torch newsletter, both in text and PDF format now, and a lot more. Just check out the whole list of VIP features. It costs $7.50 per month to become a member. It is cheaper if you subscribe for longer term. And we also have an availability of paper copy subscriptions to the Torch newsletter where you can have it delivered to your doorstep all 16 pages every week with news, analysis, exclusive columns, interviews, and more. And with the newsletter subscription, it's about 75 cents more per week to get the newsletter delivered to your home, but you get all the other online VIP benefits along with that. So basically, it's just cost of postage and printing we pass along to you. Otherwise, it doesn't really matter to us either way which option you choose. But if you'd like to get that 16-page paper copy delivered to your door, you might want to check out that option. Otherwise, you can go with the eSub option, and I hope you'll maybe give us a try for 1 month and see what it's like to have access to the complete VIP audio shows every single day. All right, that's it for me. Until next time, on behalf of the entire Torch staff, I thank you for listening, and I sign off.